we just put on the show? You know, like those big ones with the dancing and the juggling.
Yeah, we could have it in the streets.
Yeah, like a street festival.
Yeah.
I'll dance.
Yeah.
I could choreograph.
Hey, and I'll run rehearsals.
And of course, I could be the star.
Our season finale episode of So 5 Minutes Ago, the podcast where we ignore our parents' expectations of us so that we can dance to Save a Community Center.
Yeah.
We're your hosts, Kate.
And Shannon.
I cannot believe we're at our finale episode of the season already.
I know.
How did that gosh darn happen?
So fast.
But we are finishing strong because today we are discussing one of my all-time favorite movies, the sequel of sequels, 1984's Breakin' 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah.
Oh, I cannot wait. And I stand by that statement. I will argue all day that Breakin' 2 is far superior to Breakin'.
Okay.
So, yeah, the basic premise of the first Breakin' movie is that there's a girl named Kelly. She's a trained dancer from an upper crust wealthy family. Kelly discovers breakdancing and clashes with her parents because they want her to go to some bougie, stuffy academy, but she wants to follow her heart and breakdance in the streets. Yeah. Suck it, mom and dad. And you can say it's a commentary about like classism and cultural stereotypes and everything, which it is, but it's also a vehicle for a lot of dance scenes. But I think that this movie, the second one, has much more heart than the first one.
Okay.
And I feel like they dialed in the best way to effectively use the dance scenes a little more creatively instead of just like spraying them all over the movie.
Yeah. Okay.
And there is a lot of dancing in this movie, but it's like, I feel like it's a little more cleverly used.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I also know that Electric Boogaloo has become the standard fill-in for sequels like Blah Blah 2, Electric Boogaloo. Mm-hmm. And because of that, it's become a hacky punchline. But I think that this movie is honestly underrated.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good.
It is really good.
So I grew up watching Breakin' 2. My mom showed it to me at a young age, along with Breakin' and Beat Street. But this one stuck with me. I watched it a lot. I love the music. I love the clothes. I love the dancing. My friend Tracy and I dressed up as Turbo and Ozone for a Halloween party at a roller rink a couple years ago.
Awesome.
This movie, like, permanently lives in my heart. Shannon, what's your experience with the Electric Boogaloo?
Well, Kate, you should know because you're the one who told me to watch this movie last year.
Oh, that was the first time you'd seen it?
Yes. During lockdown, I think it popped up on Amazon or whatever. And you were like, I think you told me you were going to watch it. And I said, oh, I'd never watched that before. And you were like, what? Watch it. And I think I watched it that night. And I was just like, enamored of the colors. The sheer magnitude of the colors in this movie is amazing. Not even just the set of the Miracles Community Center, which is just spray painted with graffiti and colors and just gorgeous like design, but the costuming is so colorful throughout the whole movie. I don't know, it was just, you can just watch it and watch it and watch it and never see it all.
Yeah, you're right. When this movie, when I saw that this movie was streaming last year, it was like, it was one of those times, I don't know if you ever had this, where just like the perfect movie happens at the perfect time. It's exactly what you need. You watch it and it's just like, oh, that was such a good viewing experience.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it was. It was just like in the thick of lockdown.
Yep.
And it was when things were just like feeling really crappy. And I saw Breakin' 2 and I was like, ooh, I'm going to watch this. And it gave me joy for like the first time in a long time.
Yep.
And it's a joyful movie.
It's
really, really fun. Yeah. All right, well, to finish out the season, let's take one final look at some behind-the-scenes trivia before we pop and lock our way into this episode. See what I did there?
I do.
Mom's getting clever. This sequel was greenlit to begin, or began production less than a year after the first Breakin' movie came out.
Mm-hmm.
It was based on the true story of a community center in LA called the Radiotron that faced demolition. The youth director, Carmelo Alvarez, rallied the city and they marched to City Hall to prevent the teardown. Alfonso Chabadou Quiñones, who played Ozone, is credited with being one of the innovators of pop and lock dancing. At one time, he was in a dance group called The Original Lockers with Fred Rerun Barry and Tony. Yeah, and Tony Basil of Hey Mickey fame.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, he was also a featured Soul Train dancer. Okay, I found this next bit of info on Wikipedia, so it may or may not be true, but it's ridiculous if it is. His original dance name was Sir Lancelot. I will argue missed opportunity not to be Sir Lox-a-Lot.
Oh, yeah.
But he ended up changing it to Shabba Dabba Doo Bop before shortening it to Shabadoo. Okay. So, yeah, smart move. Michael Boogaloo Shrimp Chambers, who plays Turbo, has appeared in a ton of music videos and commercials. He taught Michael Jackson how to moonwalk.
Wow.
Yes. And for our fellow elderly listeners, he's MC Scat Cat in Paula Abdul's Opposites Cracked video.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
There's a documentary on Amazon about Michael Chambers' career called Boogaloo Shrimp. If you want to know more about this insane dancer, he's so talented.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we lost Alfonso Quiñones in December of 2020. I was so heartbroken when I heard that news. So let's honor his memory by talking about this gosh darned masterpiece of a movie. Oh my gosh. We open on a shot of somebody pushing play on a boombox and then a montage of close-ups of people dancing and popping and locking. It shows, and this song is playing, and I'm already excited.
Then I step out on the floor. The music plays once more, and the faith down deep inside comes pounding through. I believe in the beat. I believe in the way I feel. When I'm dancing, it seems like everything's alright.
Woo! That is Believe in the Beat by Carolyn Towns. And if that song doesn't put joy in your heart, I don't know if we can be friends. It's so good. In this title sequence, you see a lot of hands and wrists and what look like bondage bracelets and lots of metal bangles. These were called clackers, and dancers wore them so that when they pop and locked, their movements were emphasized by the sound of the bracelets clanging together, which is fun. The montage ends on a bunch of showgirl-looking dancers on a stage in giant feather headdresses. Backstage, dancer Kelly removes her headdress and says she is done doing chorus lines. Next, Kelly is driving her convertible to her parents' giant mansion in probably Beverly Hills. Out on the lanai, Kelly's dad, Mr. Bennett, provides some heavy exposition to bring us up to speed with what's been happening since Breakin' One.
Well, Kelly, now that you've left your life in the theater, maybe you'd like to reconsider my offer of 4 years at Princeton.
I haven't quit, Dad. I'm just taking a break. And I've told you a million times, dance is my life.
I don't understand. With your intelligence and the opportunities that I could provide. And what about that young friend of yours, that lawyer? What was his name? Derek? He wanted to marry you. Why'd you break up with him?
Derek's a nerd. And you're the one that liked him, not me.
Well, at least she's not spending time with those street people anymore, darling.
Yikes! Kelly says it's her life, and she storms off in her very, very pleated voluminous culottes.
And no bra.
Yeah. Also strap in, this is going to be a fashion-heavy episode because this movie has some incredible wardrobe.
Mm-hmm. But with the exception of a few pieces that look like they were made by a blind person with one arm, like the purple top held together with a net and the green diaper suspenders in the finale.
Yes. Yeah. There's a sweatshirt too. Yep. We'll get there. Check out our Instagram at So5MinutesAgoPod to see the many, many visual references we will have for this episode. Back at her place, Kelly and her culottes are moping around. She wistfully picks up a photo of her with her two, quote, street people dance friends, Turbo and Ozone. We cut to a bunch of kids playing ball in a dirt yard, which is definitely not in Beverly Hills. All these inner city scenes were filmed in the East LA area of Boyle Heights. Turbo and Ozone are hauling trash out of their, quote, house, which is a converted garage covered in graffiti. Turbo is teasing Ozone for going all gaga and cleaning up the place just because Kelly called. Kelly pulls up in her convertible to a warm welcome from all the kids in the yard.
Mm-hmm. And the kids call her Special K. And I think this is a great time to talk about some of the nicknames in the movie credits as well. I mean, up top, we already talked about Boogaloo Shrimp. But there are probably, I think, two main ways in life that you can get a cool nickname. Being in a biker gang or being in a dance crew. So check this out. Sugarfoot, Poppin' Taco, Little Magician, Twist Queen, Lil Wizard, Coolie Bop, and Trick Man. Now, imagine walking through the mall and you hear, "What up, Twist Queen?" Now tell me you don't want that. I want that.
I do want that. And I'm so glad you brought this up because I was going to mention it. I watched all of the credits, just enjoying everyone's nicknames. Yep. Like even people in the film crew had some. I think one guy's name is like something one-armed bandit. Like, they're all like a name and then quote nickname and then last name. It's well worth watching the credits for it because they're great. While Kelly runs up and kisses Ozone, she and Turbo commiserate about how sucky it is to go on auditions. The kids all run over and show off their new dance or breakdance moves to her. And then this happens.
Hey, Kelly K, won't you come this way? We're gonna take you to the place where we all stay. We're gonna take you to the place where we all go. And we call this place the Miracle, where Mamella, Ozone, and Turbo T, they're a combination that can't be beat. So come on, everybody, everybody, come along with the TKO crew, cause you know what to do. We're gonna all take a walk on the avenue.
That was rough editing.
What's happening this now?
This happens out of nowhere. Like, nobody pushes play on a boombox. There is no boombox. Everyone's just standing around talking and then abruptly, like almost interrupting their conversation, music starts and one of the guys standing nearby just starts like rapping at Kelly. Yeah. It is very weird.
Well, I mean, do you know a better way to get a whole group of people to follow you down the street?
Maybe just Job scream, "Everybody dance now." Well, he wasn't lying because they do, in fact, go take a walk on the avenue. The entire group led by Kelly, Turbo, and Ozone start clapping and skipping and dancing down the neighborhood street. As they parade through the neighborhood, everyone near them catches the boogaloo fever and starts dancing. Mailmen are doing backflips, landscapers are doing air kicks, a lady cop stops writing a ticket to join the dance mob, and then, so very oddly, there's a man in like barbershop quartet garb with an old-timey food cart or like a fruit cart, like something you'd see on Main Street at Disneyland.
Yeah.
In the middle of this Boyle Heights neighborhood. Okay. But as silly as this scene is, it is just pure joy. Just like a parade of people in bright colored clothing dancing down the street. It is really, really fun.
It really is, except for the part where some of them do backhand springs down the hill toward the park. Like, that's just a good way to snap a neck. That was so scary. Yeah.
Just the momentum.
Yes.
Oh, gosh. The crowd dances their way to a nearby park with a small amphitheater where a Latin band is playing. I question it because this band only has three pieces, drums, congas, and steel drums. And we're supposed to believe that they're performing the song that's playing over the scene, but I think in real life this band would sound insane.
I think you're right.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just providing a good dance beat for all the dancers, but like, I don't know. There's a bunch of dancers in neon clothes already on the stage, one of which is a cute girl with beautiful black curly hair that keeps making eyes at Turbo, and he's in love. The crowd, which has grown to, I don't know, like 200 people, I'm terrible at estimating crowd sizes, so something around that, leaves the park and continues dancing down the street until they reach a big, multicolor-painted community center called Miracles. In the lobby, everyone is so sweaty, A plus for realism. Mm-hmm. We learn that Turbo and Ozone volunteer and teach dance here. A mime leads them on a tour of the community center to show Kelly around.
Stop. That's it, huh? You're just going to drop that line like it's not completely deranged that there's a guy dressed as a mime face paint and everything, just hanging around in the middle of the day at the community center. Okay, then.
I think there's just so much ridiculous in this movie that I just kind of was like, yeah, of course. I'm numb. It just like went over. But yeah, you're right. It is insane that and also that a mime leads the tour. He can't talk.
Right?
So he's basically just gesturing around. Yes. And then Ozone's like, this is our theater where dancers dance. This is the gym. He's really not doing anything.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, there's a theater where some talented dancers are practicing a group number on stage. In the gym, a bunch of kids and teens are learning to box. One side of the gym is cordoned off by a wall of mirrors to serve as a makeshift dance studio. A bunch of Ozone students are practicing, and as soon as he joins them, another dance party breaks out. I'm very concerned about their hydration at this point. There's just been so much dancing.
And sweating.
But I like how the scene is shot, though, because rather than them all doing like a choreographed dance, you can tell that they all just freestyled and the camera sort of moved through the crowd and just grabbed shots of them dancing. So it's really cool. And there are so many amazing dancers in this movie. But, not so fast. Remember in our Goonies episode when we talked about evil real estate developers? Mm-hmm. Well, while this dance party is going on inside Miracles, outside a bunch of stuffy white dudes in suits have shown up, led by Mr. Douglas. This man is just a wall of white hair and teeth. And Ken Randall, who looks like a literal egghead with glasses. They're looking at blueprints and discussing how soon they can tear down the community center to build a shopping center in its place. Phew. But okay, let's not worry about that, because now we're back at Miracles and it's time for another badass dance montage where we see everybody training and learning and everything at the community center. And it is set to this friggin' fantastic song. Heck yes.
Yep.
Yeah, that's Din Dada by George Kranz.
Love the song. You can't not bop along when the song is playing. It's so good.
No. It's so good. And it works so well for this scene because they're all like sweating and it intensifies as the thing goes on. And then the scene just abruptly stops. Like, I think the end of the song just goes like, ba-da-da!
Yeah.
And then it ends and you're like, yeah!
Yeah.
So good. So yeah, we get shots of people learning to break dance and Kelly is teaching her jazz style dance to a bunch of students. And the fashion, fashion in this montage is beautiful. Ozone style is basically what I'm going for. It's a lot of cropped muscle tees and parachute pants.
Yep. Awesome.
I just need like more fingerless gloves and studded belts and bandanas tied around my waist. Mm-hmm. P.S. I was barely able to make that bandana belt happen for my costume. And then I realized that he has a tiny waist.
Yeah. I was going to say that actually. He wears a lot of belts that almost look like waist trainers in this movie. They're like really thick belts. And there's no way his waist is over 22 inches. And I wondered if that was Googleable. And I spent more time than I'm going to admit trying to find out. Update, it is not Googleable.
He has like no body fat because he just dances. Yep. All the live long day. So he's just so he's just nothing but muscle. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway, this whole part is just straight up eye candy. It's beautiful. Okay. So back at the Bureau of Engineering, AKA the most boring beige office you have ever seen, Ken Randall, one of the real estate developers, is meeting with the commissioner to get zoning passed for the shopping center plans. When the commissioner expresses delight in Miracles, real estate guy has a plan to steer her away from altruism.
The key thing, though, is that our current engineering reports show that that building is structurally unsound. So it would be more cost-effective at this point to tear the building down and offer the property for sale. And I don't think it would be bad if we took this area and put in a shopping center here.
But where will all those kids go?
They've got their club, Radiotron.
Well, Mr. Randall, you might be right.
Hey, shout out to Radiotron. Speaking of, off to Radiotron we go. Turbo, Kelly, and Ozone, collectively known as TKO.
Nice.
Yeah, walk up in the club. Kelly is wearing a studded shirt and her hair is teased up so high she could give Blanche Devereaux a run for her money. Turbo is wearing a leather union cap with like a white cattail pinned to the back. Oh, crap. But a rival dance group called Electro Rock, led by a guy named Strobe, shows up in their matching red and black zebra striped accessories to tell our hero trio what is up.
Electros rule the dance floor now, sucker. So why don't you get back to your social club and we'll play with the baby?
Come on, you guys, let's turn these fools out.
Should you bring your mama along to wipe your nose? Hey, we'll get back. Hey, man, be cool.
Look, we're not gonna waste any of our moves. And we sure not gonna dance with you punks.
So apparently Shabadoo and this guy had beef in real life because Alfonso thought that this guy's group known as the Dance Machine stole some of his moves.
Oh,
so.
Dance beef.
Ew.
Phrasing.
Y'all want some dance beef? The next day, Ozone and Byron, who is the boxing coach from Miracles, are sitting in his dirt yard. Coach has a letter from the city saying that unless they can come up with $200,000 to fix all the renovations for the community center, Miracles is going to be condemned. Ozone says, well, let's just raise the money. Byron, Turbo, Ozone, and Kelly go and meet with the commissioner.
Well, what can we do to save Miracles?
Listen, kids, I really am on your side, but the best I've been able to do is to get you a 30-day grace period so that you can raise some money to renovate that building.
Well, we appreciate your 30-day grace period, but do you really think that's long enough to raise that kind of money?
I don't know, but I do know this is your only chance.
Well, at least we have a chance.
And if you think that we don't immediately cut to a fundraising montage, then you have not been paying attention to this movie. Lemonade stands, car washes, portraits, selling flowers, busking in the park. They also have a giant thermometer painted on the side of the community center that they fill in to keep track of how much money they've raised. And this was the first time I'd seen this method as a kid when I watched this movie, and I thought it was so clever.
It reminds me of the one that I made for Bee when she wanted to try to sell enough Girl Scout cookies to go to Disneyland.
Aww.
Yeah.
But, womp womp, after all their efforts, the Miracles gang has only raised $7,000, which is actually like a crap load of money for what they've done, but not close to their goal of $200,000.
Yeah. Just like the Girl Scout cookie venture.
Oh, no. No Disneyland that year?
No. Crap load of cookies, though.
Oh, man. But hey, Turbo suggests that they put on a show. A dance show. Yeah! Now we're at an upscale restaurant where Kelly is dining with her agent. She's wearing diamonds and one lace fingerless glove, you know, to represent the street. He says she's being considered for the lead in a production that opens in Paris, and she is excited. Back at Miracles, everyone is working to paint scenery for the upcoming show. Okay, real quick, the fashion in this scene is bonkers.
Yeah.
Ozone is dressed head to toe in black leather. His black leather cattail cap, a sleeveless leather motorcycle jacket, leather parachute pants, plus leather fingerless gloves, and just so many leather belts and bracelets. And it's just like bad choice for an East LA summer.
Yeah, that jacket alone probably weighs 15 pounds.
Oh, and so hot. Yeah. Just so hot under there. Kelly, I mean, he looks great, but it's just like, it's a lot. Kelly comes in a lime green halter top under a big bubbly jacket with graffiti all over it. And she has Lucille Austero hair. A girl that we saw at the club earlier starts flirting with Ozone until Kelly walks in and the girl quickly walks away. Her outfit isn't too crazy or anything, except that she's wearing a fedora with the top cut out to allow her ponytail to stick out.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Yeah. Kelly tells Ozone about her Paris opportunity. He's pissed and is all, what about Miracles? Just then, a spray paint can comes crashing through the window and Ozone shouts, it's Electro Rock! A group runs out of Miracles and chases two rival dancers down the street. They all wind up under a bridge where they find the rest of the Electro Rockers. We also see here that Turbo was wearing a full-on marching band drum major jacket, and I don't hate it.
No, it's awesome.
Yeah. Strobe confronts Ozone.
Ozone, you've been off the street too long, blood. Gotten lazy. You lost your edge.
You're the loser, punk.
Try me.
Those are breakdance fighting words. A dude pushes play on a boombox, and it is on Boogaloo style.
Yeah, street dance justice.
Heck yes. Electro Rock has a female dancer.
Oh, with Claire Huxtable hair.
Yeah. Yeah, and she dances all up in Kelly's face. When Electro Rock busts out some PVC pipe nunchucks, our gang breakdance advances on them with metal trash can lid shields. The group breaks apart for some one-on-one hand-to-hand dance combat. Eventually, Electro Rock retreats and speeds away in a car. Ozone proclaims victory, yelling TKO after them. Yeah, top that. Sorry, wrong movie. Another day outside of Miracles, a construction guy and the evil real estate developer, Mr. Douglas, are surveying the land. When a kid dances up to them and asks what they're doing, Mr. Douglas shoves him away and is all, get out of here, street rat. Next, we see the kid returning with a bunch of the community center staffers. Byron, the coach, tells Mr. Douglas that he has to leave because they're still the legal tenants of Miracles and they haven't had a hearing yet. When Mr. Douglas scoffs, Byron assures them they will fight this thing all the way. And then the kid is all, you're not going to let them take away Miracles, are you? And Byron says no. P.S. I would 100% wear Ozone's outfit in this scene. It's a checkerboard cropped tank top and black parachute track pants, plus high tops and a million accessories. Oh, looks so good. Mm-hmm. Okay. Back at Turbo and Ozone's, they're getting ready to come up with some new dance move, something that's fresher than fresh, funkier than funky. When Ozone's ex-girlfriend walks in, this is a fedora girl that we saw earlier in the scene, painting scene, and her name is Rhonda. She drops by to ask if he's still dating Kelly and to deliver some stellar line reads.
That thing between us, baby, was over a long time ago.
Well, I still love you, Ozone.
Look, Rhonda, I'm sorry.
Forget it. I don't need your sympathy, Ozone.
What do you want?
Do you know what I want? I want you to stay away from that girl!
That escalated quickly.
Yes, it did. She was like, I have four lines in this scene. Uh-huh. I'm making the most of all of them. Well, at the park, Turbo has returned to watch curly-haired girl dance on stage. The three-piece band has added two more members, but they're also percussionists, so maybe it's filling out the sound a little.
No.
I don't know. Curly-haired girl's name is Lucia, and she is still totally having cheer sex with Turbo from the stage. When everyone in the crowd gets up and starts dancing too, she beckons to him, but oh no, she only speaks Spanish. Turbo asks a guy in the crowd to translate, and he says that she said that she thinks that Turbo is sexy and wants to dance with him. Ooh. Back at Turbo and Ozone's, Turbo is checking himself out in the mirror, and I don't blame him because his outfit is killer. Mm-hmm. It's a black collared shirt with a red leather studded necktie under a red and black color blocked windbreaker type jacket. Looks great. He asks Ozone for some advice on how to start off with a girl. Ozone excitedly explains tips which involve playing it cool and smiling and whispering flirty things in a girl's ear. Then the scene devolves into something that used to horrify me as a kid and maybe as an adult, because while they're doing all this pickup artistry, they're practicing on this almost life-sized creepy stuffed lady doll. And then it becomes a scene where the guys are practicing dancing with the doll, but then the doll sometimes becomes Kelly and sometimes becomes Lucia. Like, yeah. When it cuts back and forth, it's the actual women, sparking jealousy in the guys when the other one is dancing with her, and they end up fighting over the doll, which in some cuts means they're physically tugging on and fighting over Kelly, and in others it's Lucia, until they literally dismember and rip the doll apart and the stuffing flies out and it makes this sound. Which It's honestly so violent. It sounds like they both grabbed corners of her mouth and ripped her down the middle, or what I would imagine. I mean, this is bad, but this is what it sounds like. If you stuck like a shop vac on someone's butthole and their intestines got sucked out, like, oh, listen to this. I mean, it's horrible. But then the scene ends and the doll corpse is lying in a crumpled heap in the corner and the two guys are laughing and dancing together. So guess it's okay. Blah. All right, well, let's shake off that scene and cut to Kelly's audition, where she is flipping and leaping all over the stage in a leotard that is staying in place with what I can only assume is witchcraft, because this thing defies physics. It's a black leotard that is completely cut and shredded everywhere except the two very small triangles that cover her boobs. It's really cool, but honestly, how on earth?
Yeah,
how on earth?
Never. There's got to be a ton of double stick tape under there.
Something. It's crazy. She'll be getting a call, but her agent knows the director and thinks that she has a pretty good shot. Back at Kelly's parents' manse, Kelly's mom is doing aerobics poolside, and honestly, this looks like a great life. Her dad walks up in his tennis blues for some impotent, out-of-touch rage.
What's this Stanley tells me about our daughter dancing in Paris?
Darling, she doesn't even have the job yet.
And I also understand that she's been back in the streets with that bozo or turbine or whatever the hell their names are.
She isn't in the streets, sweetheart. She's volunteering. It's charity work. She is helping all those poor little underprivileged children.
Yeah, well, I'm going to do something about this nonsense.
Well, darling, I don't know what you can do. Kelly's old enough to make her own decisions.
I'm going to find a way. Call her up.
Yes, dear.
Get her over here for dinner.
Yes, dear.
I want to talk to that girl.
Yes, dear.
Yeah, Dad, invite her to dinner. That'll show her. Kelly and Ozone are walking in the park when she says that he and Turbo should join her for dinner at her parents' house. Maybe her dad could give them the money or at least some advice on how to save miracles. Ozone is hesitant, saying that he doesn't want to take advantage, but Kelly is like, it's okay. So then TKO is pulling up to the Bennett Manor for dinner. Turbo is wearing a different marching band jacket, a red and black one. Ozone is wearing his black leather motorcycle vest unzipped down to his navel. And like, if you want Kelly's parents to respect you, maybe put the chest hair away for dinner.
There's so much of it. It's like a bath mat. It's so thick.
Yeah, and it's just all out there. Kelly is wearing a cute, understated outfit that includes jeans and a cropped blazer. Back in the foyer, Kelly's mom does her best to be polite to Turbo and Ozone, complimenting their, quote, unique flair for fashion. The doorbell rings and Kelly says, oh, that must be Dad. Even though, like, why would he ring the doorbell at his own mansion?
Yeah.
I don't know. But no, it's some doofus in a suit with a pseudo-British accent. Kelly's mom introduces him as Kelly's fiancé, Derek, but Kelly stands behind him and silently motions that no, he is not. Kelly's dad comes downstairs, and when she introduces Turbo and Ozone, her dad walks right past them to make rich guy small talk with Derek. Also, throughout this whole scene, Turbo and Ozone are being generally polite and making their own fun, and it's really charming. At the dinner table, everyone is served tomato-looking soup. Turbo looks disgusted but takes a bite and makes fake yummy noises. When no one is looking, he calls the family cat over and he fishes something out of his soup that looks like an octopus or a small alien and then feeds it to the cat under the table. It is so gross.
Yeah, that cat for sure died.
Conversation turns to the community center. They explain how the building is at risk of being torn down and replaced by a shopping center if they can't raise the money to save it. Oh, and things get very uncomfortable.
Oh, I see. You're here for money.
Well, I know what you people do with money. You mismanage it. You spend it on drugs and fancy clothes and cars.
Dad?
I don't see any point in throwing good money after bad.
Come on, Turbo. Look, we don't need your help. We can take care of our own.
Turbo and Ozone excuse themselves, but not before politely thanking Mrs. Bennett for her delicious cooking and doing a little choreographed dance move to take their dinner rolls for the road. It's cute. But gosh, wow, that just went about as badly as we all knew it was mm-hmm. going to. So, all right, Shannon, tell us what happens next.
Well, next we're back at the duck pond for some reason, and Kelly is apologizing to Turbo for her deeply prejudiced parents. Turbo says not to worry about it because he needs advice for his, quote, friend who doesn't know how to approach a girl that he likes. Kelly tells him to just say yes, which launches us into a rotating room dance montage. So
heck
cool.
Yes.
Love it. Okay, so Turbo's back in his red parachute pants with the studded belt, but this time he has added a red crop top with like mirror image diagonal zippers on either side. For street dancers, these kids sure have a lot of clothes and accessories. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, some of them look home sewn, but a lot of them look pretty darn nice. So,
yeah. Yeah.
The song playing here is I Don't Want to Come Down by Mark Scott, and it is good. Really good.
Song's great.
And then the rotating room effect allows Turbo to literally dance on the ceiling and the walls and the floor and the windows.
Yeah. I legit love this scene. Mm. I thought it was so magical when I was little.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, whoa, this is cool. This rotating room set was a piece borrowed from a Freddy Krueger movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Michael Chambers does such a good job dancing and interacting with the environment as the room spins around him. Like, if someone gave me this task, I would barely be able to walk as the room rotated. But his dancing skills totally shine here. He really explores the space.
He does. I love it. He does this one movement where he uses his index finger to push mm-hmm. himself up from what should be the floor. And it is just, I don't know. So cool. Like that stuff's not intuitive for most people. So to just think
exactly.
to do that is like,
so yeah, like cool. His choreography skills really shine through. If they were just like, all right, you're going to have a rotating room, do whatever you want mm-hmm. in here. And
yeah.
it's the stuff that he came up with, you're just like, wow,
yeah.
that's amazing.
Yeah. And so as he's dancing, his crush Lucia walks in and sees him. But instead of fleeing immediately from the demon dancing on the ceiling, she sticks around to dance with him and kiss a little bit.
Yeah. And it's also clever how she enters, because he's dancing on the wall
yeah.
when she comes in. So they're on the same plane, but she's against the wall where he's sticking out perpendicularly from
yeah.
it. So like in real life, she's lying on her back
right.
while he's dancing upright. And it's like, it's a really simple practical effect, mm-hmm. but so clever and well done.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's cool.
We've talked before about how like the practical visual effects are some of
yeah.
the best. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, well, Lucia is wearing these like stacked telephone cord bracelets and purple eyeshadow, and she's so cute. And it really like drives home how much of a crime it is later when they insult her with their terrible overdubbing, but we'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're at the Radiotron Club with Ice-T, who looks freaking amazing in a studded leather halter, pork pie hat, and oversized aviator sunglasses.
I mean, the stud budget for this movie.
Seriously.
So many studs.
Well, Ice-T's spitting mad bars while we see Ozone wade through a sea of dancers until he sees Strobe sticking his tongue in and out of some poor girl's mouth.
Ew.
It's so gross. Ozone wants to call a truce, and they need to be united to save Miracles, but Strobe tells him not to lay the jive on him. He doesn't need it, and I'm stealing that line forever, so don't lay your jive on me, Kate. I don't need it.
Okay.
Just then, Kelly comes in to tell Ozone that she got offered the Paris job. He tells her if it's what she wants, she should take it, but he spits that at her, so you know he doesn't mean it. And then he tells her that she should ask her fiancé, Derek, for advice, because Ozone can't hang with this.
Mm.
Kelly tries to leave the club, but Rhonda, Ozone's ex, and her cronies stop her. Rhonda tells Kelly that not only does Kelly not belong with Ozone, but she doesn't even belong in this neighborhood. And if she keeps showing her pretty little face around here, it's not gonna stay pretty. Ooh. Kelly makes her way to a payphone in the club to call her manager and tell him that she'll take the Paris job. And the next time we see Kelly, she's doing some pre-Paris shopping with her mother, who's telling her how much she's going to enjoy Paris and how Kelly will forget all about ozone and miracles once she's gone. Mrs. Bennett also has a Moira Rose moment when reminiscing about her own Parisian honeymoon.
Your father looks so handsome in his white linen suit.
Suit.
That was such a good catch. When I was like, what is she? When I saw your notes, I was like, what does she mean? And then I pulled this clip and I was like, oh my gosh, what is white linen suit?
Suit. Oh, I couldn't resist that. Ozone is busy hanging a gigantic sign on the roof of Miracles that says, Save Our Streets. He's wearing a sleeveless red tunic with just zippers galore, like more zippers than any man has a right to wear. And it's belted with the signature handcuff belt that we've seen Kelly wear over black balloon pants with the cuffs tucked into red leg warmers. It is a lot of look, but it's still awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he does some rooftop pop and lock and he mugs for like a small crowd of Miracles dancers that have gathered on the street below.
I mean, the ability and control that this man has over his body is simply astounding.
It is.
His dance skills are crazy.
It is. I mean, the isolation alone, like, because a lot of times you only see him from the waist up and there's so much going on still. Yeah. And all you see is his torso. It's just crazy. And just before he rips all the skin off of his palms by sliding down the flag rope, he does like this little whacking choreo that I love. Like, okay, so he sort of opens his tunic with one hand and with his other hand, he reaches in and grabs his pec. And then he does a series of complicated arm movements. I don't know. There's so much choreography in the movie that it's easy to like stop seeing it after a while. But there's something about this one short, like 16 count that had me rewinding and watching over and over because Shabadoo is legend.
Yeah.
So good. Gosh.
Yeah.
After Ozone joins the growing crowd in the street, they take their street attitude and their protest signs to the LA City Hall for the city planning meeting. As Byron steps in and speaks on behalf of the kids.
Miracles is a lifeline of our kids. Now we know what kids can do with pistols, knives, and needles. Miracles make them feel good about themselves. Give them something to look forward to. Give them a sense of achievement. And it's not by stepping on people. It's by working hard and working together.
As rousing a speech as it is, the planning commissioner drops the bomb that Miracle's house is structurally unsound and no one has the money to fix it. No one, that is, except Mr. Douglas, the day vampire, who wants to tear it down and build a shopping center there. Commissioner Snyder says the board has no choice but to accept Mr. Douglas's bid, and the peanut gallery groans, and this gem unfolds.
Oh my gosh.
You guys are whack.
Whacked.
I'm so glad you asked for that clip because if you didn't, I was going to include it like, whacked. Who?
Oh my gosh. Awesome. Out on the steps of City Hall, Ozone lays hands on Mr. Douglas, which would for sure land him in jail. Then they get in each other's faces wherein Mr. Douglas threatens to finish Ozone, his friends, and the whole damn neighborhood. This whole neighborhood's out of order. Ozone and his saber-tooth ear cuff look worried, but he tells Turbo and the rest of the gang that they're not going to give up, no matter what. Oh, and then we follow a swarthy construction worker into the next scene, where Mr. Douglas's contracting crew are trying to survey the Miracles property for demo. The kids keep messing with the survey equipment, frustrating the workers and slowing them down, but Turbo takes it to the next level when he steals some kind of toolbox and then runs like a bullet down the street with two workers giving chase.
Yeah. Okay, two things. One, the song that Turbo sings here where he goes, I got your lunch and you can't have it, is something my brother and I quote.
Aw.
Two, okay, one of the construction workers chasing Turbo down the street is wearing a button-down shirt that is now fully unbuttoned.
Yes.
Are we supposed to believe that he, like, ran his shirt open? Like, he ran right. so hard that his shirt opened?
Yeah, because there's no way that he was working like that.
No.
I noticed that, too. I'm glad you said that. This is so bizarre.
Yeah.
Oh, Kate. Then we get... the best slash worst stunt double casting ever. Oh, it's so delicious.
Uh-huh. Yep.
They did not even try to put the right wig on this guy. All they did was dress a 55-year-old stuntman in Turbo's clothes and throw him down the stairs. There will be stills, my friends, over at our Instagram visuals.
Oh, not since the 200-pound dude that was Donna Martin falling yes! down the stairs in Palm Springs in 90210 have we seen such an egregious stuntman.
Yes.
Like, the stuntman, he's like three times the size of Michael Chambers. Yep. But I guess someone as tiny as Turbo would die falling down cement stairs, yes. so I get it. But it's insane.
It really is. I... paused it. It took me a couple of tries, but man, did I get it at the exact moment where you just see
oh,
just a full, the full face of this somebody's granddad, and just they didn't even try. But I totally it made me think of the Donna Martin stuntman. I was uh-huh. laughing so hard. So
yeah, they just threw a blonde wig on some guy and were like, "This'll work."
Didn't even shave his legs. Yeah,
no,
good enough. Oh, man. Well, when the elderly stuntman lands at the bottom of the stairs, the edit then takes us to a wounded Turbo and the best take they could get of him crying out in pain. Oh, come on. All right. Ozo drives his bitchin' convertible land yacht over to Kelly's to tell her what happened to Turbo. She's just about to leave for Paris, and her agent, who's there for some contrived reason, tells her that if she misses her flight, they'll just hire someone else. Kelly, who doesn't understand responsibility, tells him to just get her another ticket or something and then heads out the door. Not how that works. Nope. She and Ozone arrive at the hospital in completely different clothes than they left the apartment in.
Thank you!
How? Also, why? I mean, mm-hmm. spoiler, there's like a breakout dance moment in a second, so maybe they need clothes that they could move in, but what?
Yep.
She literally left for the hospital in traveling clothes, like a blazer and slacks and black chunky jewelry, and then she shows up at the hospital wearing a halter tank top with all kinds of shredded strappy pieces in the back and a black skirt. Huh?
Yeah, I agree.
So weird. How did they... I'm so confused.
I know.
Like, did they try to sneak it past us? Did they not? Was it like a continuity error? Did they not even realize it?
Yeah. Are we supposed to think that they changed in
the car?
Because here's the thing. I would believe like, oh, Kelly changed because she didn't want to wear a blazer and slacks,
yeah.
which is stupid because that's actually a more appropriate outfit to wear to a hospital.
Right.
But Ozone has also changed
yes.
into an outfit that looks basically the like same. The outfit he was wearing.
Yeah.
So what?
Like a different color yeah. balloon pants. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. One of these must have been a pickup shot. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, at the hospital, Turbo's leg is in traction, and hilariously, he's wearing a striped athletic sock over his gigantic cast. This cast is so big. It is the cast for a 300-pound man. It's probably the cast for the stuntman, actually. And they've slipped it over the chicken leg of this 90-pound boy. Like, they're clearly running low on props budget by this time. When the Miracles gang piles into Turbo's hospital room, his crush, Lucia, comes out of the closet where she was hiding.
Also, what? Like, this is such a weird
yeah.
reveal. She just, they're all standing around Turbo's bed, and then she just silently creeps out like a vampire.
Yeah.
And they all just kind of look at her. They're not like, oh, hey. They just stare at her,
uh-huh.
and she's just like, comes out of the closet like... Why was she in there in the first place? It's so weird.
It's very weird. I don't know. She's like maybe not a part of the gang yet, so she couldn't. I don't.
But they all know that he likes her. It's yeah. I don't get it. Whatever.
No reason for it. Well, when she comes out, she kisses a sleeping Turbo on the lips, and then he wakes up and asks for something to eat. But instead of bringing him ice cream or a popsicle, more Miracles kids just come running into the room with a pumping boombox, and everyone starts dancing with no regard for Turbo's compound fracture and head wound. And then some seriously pissed looking 80s hot nurses come stomping in to like heal a bunch of patients who then start breakdancing. Okay, Kate, I know you mentioned up top that this movie, compared to the first Break-In, doesn't just spray dance scenes all over the place, but this hospital dance montage I could do without, I think. Like, mm-hmm. I actually kind of hate it, except for the part where Kelly does handsprings down the hall and then Ozone slides in on his knees behind her.
Yeah. I mean, I agree that this hospital dance scene is completely ignorant. Yeah. Like, it's just, it's chaotic and slapstick. And there are so many dancers crammed into this hospital corridor. Mm-hmm. Like, this must have taken forever to film. Mm-hmm. There's so many people dancing from different directions. It looks like a whole production.
Yeah.
And it's weird and unnecessary.
It is unnecessary. And
yeah, and it's not as fun or, like, joyful as the other scenes. Uh-uh. It's a lot of just, like, you know, like you said, like, slapsticky, like, why are there hot nurses there? Why is any of this happening? So, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah, it's, I was thinking it was going to, like, carry us into something, like, into the next idea or the next scene or something, but it doesn't, because it just sort of, like, smash cuts to something else. So, I don't know. But there are a lot of dancers in the scene, and there are also some real dad dancing extras in here, so... Listeners, be on the lookout for them. They're amazing. Yeah. The hospital staff are also all getting in on the dancing, even as a man dies on the operating table. But wait, he doesn't die. The beat of the music brings him back to life. Definitely
I believe in the beat.
Yeah, and he does. Definitely not grounds for malpractice here. The gang all rally around Turbo's bed, and then they start wheeling him down the hall so that he can go and have surgery on his leg. Just kidding. They actually crash him right into an orderly's cart, burying him in dirty hospital linens.
Ew. Get him some antibiotics.
Later that day, maybe, Kelly's dad shows up to her apartment while she and Ozone are having a shirtless indoor picnic. I think that Ozone's shirtlessness is supposed to indicate that they've had sex, maybe?
Yeah, because I think also the waist of his pants is undone.
Oh, which, yeah.
Which, I mean, he wears like those, like you said, like high-waisted waist trainer looking pants.
Right.
But yeah, it's very suggestive.
Yeah. Okay, so Kelly's dad berates her at her own front door for shirking Paris to spend time with, quote, that street dancer. And it's like, which one is it, dad? You want her to dance in Paris or do you want her to go to Princeton? Because she can't do both. So pick one thing to be angry about, would you please? But then he does actually finally settle on which thing he's most mad about, because when he sees Ozone sans shirt, he makes Kelly a deal. He'll pay to renovate Miracles, but she has to stay out of that neighborhood and go to Princeton. She considers the offer, but Ozone tells her it's not what she wants, and then she makes a grand dramatic stand against her father.
Let me tell you something. That theater or whatever it is of yours, that's just another one of those public projects that takes good money and throws it down the toilet.
Why are you always so negative about everything? Everything that I have ever wanted to do, you've always been against it. Dad, I'm staying.
You're making a big mistake, Kelly.
Dad, I'm staying.
I know.
Shannon.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to leave this scene without talking about this rainy day elementary school craft of a sweatshirt that Kelly is wearing. This thing. Like, you see the top of it when the scene starts. And then as she gets up to answer the door, you get the reveal of the rest of it. And it's like, oh my gosh. It's okay. It's a pink sweatshirt. We'll start there. The neck has been cut off in a way that not only does it look like a cartoon shark bit it off and left it all jagged,
yeah.
But it's so wide now that it will no longer stay up on its own.
Right.
But not to worry, because black leather straps have been sewn on at the shoulders for some reason. And then the sleeves have been cropped and gathered into puffy sleeves.
Oh.
And then on the front, I don't know. It looks like scraps of fabric were just randomly glued to the front or like thrown at it.
Yeah.
It's even uglier than I'm describing it. Yeah. You just have to see it.
It is bad.
It's crazy.
It is bad. And I did clock it. I don't know why I didn't think to say anything about it, because while I was watching it, I was like,
because
what?
It was too much.
It was. I couldn't comprehend it. Because, yeah, the black leather straps also have like snaps on them, I think. Like they snap onto the sweatshirt. And it's also like slashed in random places so that they could use more of those straps to hold it together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's so much. And not only is it so much, but it looks uncomfortable to wear.
Yeah.
Like it's not
a clothing item.
No.
It's really not.
No, it's not. It's not clothes.
Okay. Well, back at the hospital, Turbo gets Lucia to help him escape, and Lucia gets burned by the sound engineering department.
I gotta get out of here. I gotta get back to the Miracles and help them with the show.
Sí, sí,
I can't be laying up in this trash.
Por favor.
You don't understand. Look, you must help me get out of here. Look.
No. No hagas eso. Por favor.
Very important for me to get out of here. I can't lay in the bed. Look.
No.
This belongs on stage, not in the hospital.
Oh.
Look, come on.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh. Come on, guys. What the actual F? This poor actress. There's no way that her voice or her Spanish was bad enough to warrant this malicious overdubbing.
No, it sounds like they're making fun of
her. Yeah, it does.
It sounds like they're like, it's just so terrible. Like, okay, so this actress actually did speak both Spanish and English, but the actress's voice was so quiet in real life that the mics had trouble picking her up. So she had to be dubbed, but yeah, it's still so bad.
It is. Like, wait, so did she dub her own voice?
I don't know that.
There's no way.
I don't know if it was
hers. That sounds like a man trying to do it. Oh, ¿qué es eso? Oh, por favor.
Oh, it sounds like the squirrel in Sword in the Stone, where it's just like, they didn't even try to make her sound like a human woman.
Right.
It's crazy.
Ugh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I didn't know that. At least I'm glad
it
that
doesn't
it was
make it better.
No, but at least it wasn't total malicious.
Yeah.
Well, even though they did this girl so dirty, she still helps Turbo escape via a laundry cart and some classic movie shenanigan music. Back at Miracles, the kids are building a stage and painting and hanging streamers and stuff for the big show. The money thermometer now shows that their progress has stalled out at about $40,000. And honestly, $40,000 for washing cars and sketching a few portraits is nothing to sneeze at. Like,
yeah,
they could probably at least replace the HVAC system or put a new roof on with that amount. But the movie says that they still need to raise $160 more. So here we are. Kelly shows up with Pizza Hut pizzas for all the hungry workers, but freaking Rhonda gets in her face and tells her to leave. And when Kelly refuses, Rhonda knocks all the pizzas to the ground.
Honestly, arrest Rhonda for this crime.
Yeah.
Like, do what you want to Kelly, but for crap's sake, Rhonda, never ruin pizza.
Exactly, exactly. Let her put the pizzas down first, something, anything. And what I want you to understand here is that this is 1984. Pizza Hut peaked between like 84 and 88, like right around the whole book it period.
Back when this was actually a restaurant?
Yes, a sit-down restaurant with a pitcher of Coke and the most delicious pizza you could find anywhere. So this is like the pinnacle of delicious pizza that Rhonda has just callously trashed. And everyone should be pissed right now and run Rhonda out on a rail. But instead, we all get distracted by four giant bulldozers heading straight for Miracles. So, re the bulldozers. Ozone's solution is to turn up the music, obviously, I guess. And then the whole gang anger dance their way onto the dozers to keep them from advancing on the building. Rival gang Electro Rock look on and laugh like, this'll never work. And you know what? They're wrong. It does work.
Yeah, because as the dancers start to give up, gosh darn Turbo hobbles out in his hospital gown and the giant leg cast that you talked about and stands alone in front of the dozers and like single-handedly stops them like a gosh darned hero. Mm-hmm. Does the scene always make me a little emotional? Yeah, it does.
Aww.
I'm not a robot, Shannon. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, evil Mr. Douglas tells one of the bulldozers to just run Turbo over because he's throwing spray paint cans at the bulldozers, but the driver refuses.
Why did you stop?
The kids.
I don't care about the kids. I want that stage knocked down
now. Yeah, come on, move me.
No way.
What do you mean, no way? What do you mean?
We came here to do a job, not to kill kids.
Who are you working for?
We're going home.
No, you're not going home. You wait here. I'll get that thing out of the way.
Yeah, move me. I'm sitting right here, man.
Let's go. Let's get out of here.
This actor is adorable, and he's pretty much like grinning through the entire scene. Like, he's just happy to be included. His line delivery is stilted, and he's not really like matching the energy of the other actors, but you can tell he's having so much fun. And I wonder if he was a legit just a dozer driver and not even really an actor.
Yeah, that's what it seems like, and I love it.
Yeah. Just somebody's dad that got to be in a movie. So the bulldozers retreat and the kids cheer and carry Turbo to the stage where they cut away his cast because his bravery healed his broken leg. A news van pulls up and Howard Howard hops out and interviews wiener Ken Randall, who does some fancy double talk and basically gaslights the kids. Actually, he straight up says that the kids won't be losing their community center. And then,
well, good.
Yeah. And then Howard Howard puts Mr. Douglas on the spot, and Mr. Douglas says that he won't be taking any action against the kids for blocking the project. In fact, he'll withdraw from the project altogether, and he'll donate $10,000 to help renovate Miracles. Howard Howard then invites Ozone to promote the Miracles show live on the news.
We're having a show today, right here, to raise money to save Miracles. There's going to be dancing and juggling, the whole works. So come down and enjoy yourself and celebrate with us. I'd like to see you there.
Interesting. This is the second time we've been promised juggling. We'll see about that. The Miracles show kicks off, and it's everything you want it to be. The crowd is hype, the dancers are live, and the rest of the movie from here on out is just a joyful, dance-filled celebration. The first number has all the dancers wearing red military berets and like variations on black and red costume themes. Kelly's got on a red skater skirt and a black tank with like her trademark handcuff belt. There's a bunch of red high-top Converse and balloon pants and studded belts and zippers and bandanas. Just awesome. And a bunch of sun. My God, the LA sun. You can see the extras in the front row of the crowd are obviously sunburned. And these dancers, oh my gosh, they're probably going full out for every single take. And they are so sweaty. And
yes.
But they still make it look fun and easy. And it makes me remember how much fun dancing was back in high school, actually.
Oh,
and there's a particular like combination that the dancers do that looks hard as crap. And considering that they were probably so tired, they still make it look super smooth. Honestly, I could talk about choreography all day, but we have to move on because next up is Ice-T rapping about raising money. G-I-V-E. All right. And then next up is Little Lee, a tiny Michael Jackson impersonator dancing to like a ripoff like of the Jets' Crush on You. Or at least that's how it hit me because I'd never heard that song before. So
yeah,
it just sounded like that. And then there's a kid who's billed as Chain Man in the credits who swings a chain around while lying on his back and then in an impossible feat of physics jumps his entire flat body off the ground multiple times while swinging the chain underneath himself. I mean, how?
Yeah. The core strength on this
yes.
guy. Like, imagine using only your abs to launch your whole body off the earth. Without crapping your pants.
That is exactly what would happen. Oh my gosh. And also, how many times did he whip himself with that chain while he was learning to do this?
No kidding.
Well, there's also a giant chicken in sunglasses, kind of a mascot who breakdances. There's a girl in the crowd with the hairiest underarms in the land. And by this time, the kids have raised $150,000, so they're only 50K short.
That's so much money.
It really is.
In both directions. Like, that's so much money to have and so much money to still
be short.
$50,000, yeah.
I know. But back at the Bennett Mance, Kelly's parents are suddenly impressed with the tenacity of Miracles kids. They're watching the whole thing on TV, and they decide to head down to the rally with their checkbook. Oh my God, everybody shut up, because here comes the fabulous Miracle Dancers again, and look what Kelly is wearing. Help me, Kate. It's a one-piece shorts and suspenders made out of a single t-shirt?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so like, imagine turning a t-shirt upside down and sticking your legs through the sleeves.
Okay.
And then somehow ripping and fashioning the remainder of the shirt into suspenders. That's this outfit with like a bra or a bandeau top underneath. It's
That's a great way to describe it. A friend was watching this scene with me and he compared the outfit to being stuck in a baby swing.
Yeah, this is accurate. Yeah. That is completely accurate.
Oh, it looks so uncomfortable for her. Oh. But the colors of these outfits are perfect. It's all the neon. Pink, green, orange, yellow. It's a feast for the eyes. But poor Kelly, the shorts are so far up her crack. There's no way she's not feeling that.
Yeah.
And everyone else gets to wear really comfy looking baggy neon pants. And maybe it's sympathy for Kelly's diaper on suspenders outfit that finally inspires the Electro-Rock crew to join Ozone's crew in a truce. The stage is sort of like in shade by now, so I feel like they've probably been filming these dance scenes for probably 5 or 6 hours at this point.
Yeah.
And Kelly is an absolute sweaty beast when her parents show up and hand her a check for $50,000, even without a promise of Princeton.
Wow.
The crowd cheers and the dancers celebrate, and about 2,000 bird-killing helium balloons are released into the sky. And wait a minute. Weren't we promised juggling? I guess we have to settle for a celebratory sax solo.
Yeah, we did it!
All right!
Miracles! Wow. And and that's how it ends. It's so great.
Yeah.
And I mean, I can't think of a better way to end the season than just to let the song play us out. So that's what I'm going to do. Thank you so, so much, everyone, for joining us through these episodes. Yeah. It's been great talking about these movies with you.
So fun.
It's been so fun. All right. This was a great episode. Great season. Thank you all. All right. Bye.
Bye. As long as I hear that sound coming through the night.
Join us each week for a new episode of So 5 Minutes Ago. Check out our Instagram at So5MinutesAgoPod with the number 5 to see visuals and clips from the show. You can also get in touch with us at So5MinutesAgoPod@gmail.com. And please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get podcasts. Special thanks to Dave Quiggle for creating our podcast music. Talk to you all next week.
So 5 minutes ago.